I wish to ask you about the sketch, the second one of the hand model. What do you do if your son coming to you asking you for this? Just taking your permission to that his future is like this. Because we had seen that the parents معلش عشان الصوت thank you. What do you think parents should do when any of their sons or daughters coming talking about this strange future and career for them? What is the best to be done?
I think they should let him do it, because like if it's his life, if he's gonna like not waste, but like if he wants to try other stuff, then he should try it. Because
okay, Michael, would you, any of you kind like to write down the comments? Okay, this is one.
I think you could let him do it, but then have conditions. So, you know, try it for a year, and if you're still unemployed and your hand's just as ugly, then probably, you know, do it my way. So let him do his way, fail, and then he'll come and see sense.
Okay. Okay.
I once had a dream to do something. But my parents never actually said no to me, but they made me realize that you can't live your life off certain things. That, yes, you may have talents in certain things, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the world is going to think that you're great at that thing. So they sort of steered me in a way. They encouraged me and supported me through my dream, but at the same time, they encouraged me to do something else so I had a support. So to achieve my dream, but also do something so I have like a backup plan kind of thing. So,
good.
Yeah.
Any other comment? What do you think? Why did this young man choose this kind of career? Why some young people choose such strange things to think for their future? Yes, please, Naveen.
Sure.
Okay.
They might be wanting to go into an easier career. They might be wanting to go away from school life, just try something simple.
Okay.
Sometimes it's like more, they want to show an identity, so they want to do something different that no one ever else mm-hmm. thought of.
Yeah. Any other? Okay, let's consider this is one of the signs or symptoms of the low self-esteem. Sometimes it's related to the self-image. Somebody may not trust in himself, that's why he put this bizarre ideas, as some of you said, that he wants to seek attention and make himself different, so people may consider him more. So sometimes they said that this is kind of low self-esteem. What other signs of this low self-esteem? You know, most of the young men and women have some part of this. They have little of low self-esteem. how can you read it? How can you see this in yourself or somebody else?
A change in personality.
What do you mean by changing personality?
So you change the way you look, you change the way you think of things, you change what you eat, what you drink, like change okay. everything you do.
Okay.
I think bringing other people down. So I've often found that people that bully other people are doing it because they're not actually happy with who they are. So they try and make other people look bad to make themselves feel better.
Mm. Okay. Mina.
Maybe they think themselves that they're good and they don't want to accept anyone's weakness in the church, and that's what makes that person go away from the church, and they say, I don't want to come to church because this person is bothering me and all that, and he's weak.
No, I'm just asking about when you have this low self-esteem, the feeling inferior, what do you will do, or what do you feel, and what how do you act?
I think Abuna, it's aggressive and defensive. So the person will be very aggressive to say no for anything, or bit defensive. So he would say no just to prove his point, even if his point is wrong.
Okay. Yes?
People might find themselves feeling depressed or...
I can't hear you, Habib.
People will find themselves depressed when low self-esteem. Yes. And I have like poor social skills around people.
Good. What other comments? I think all of us feel this kind of inferiority at a time. What are the main reasons of this negative feeling? Don't you feel this?
Abuna, I think that we tend to feel that because we look for that self-confidence in other human beings. We don't turn to God for that confidence. So when we're turning to other people, imagine turning to several different people and each person has a different opinion about you. So you often feel low because you're purely depending on what other people think of you as opposed to looking to God for that.
Good. Other reasons for this? Yes?
I think, Abuna, low self-esteem could also happen due to bad experiences, like failure, and then this will reflect negatively on his future experiences. So, yeah, I mean, failure could be one of it.
Good.
Peer pressure.
Yeah. Okay, what are the best? There's some comment here, please, Ramos.
I want to say that sometimes parents can compare one child to another child, and that could bring down one child's self-esteem compared to the other one.
Very good, Habib. Very good. Does this problem add to the spiritual pressure or spiritual warfare? I mean, if somebody feels that he is less or inferior than others, he feels down, he feels this low self-esteem. That this may hinder his relationship with God? Why do we just speak about this point? According to the forefathers, many sins come out of this low self-esteem. When you have this inferiority complex, many sins may come up. Lily?
It's possible not seeing goodness around you that you don't believe that God exists because He is good.
Yeah, sometimes it goes up to atheism. Yes. What else? Abuna? Okay, who is talking? Yes, this side.
I once heard a talk about the verse. I'm not too sure the exact wording, but it said, "Love thy neighbor as thyself." And they started speaking about self, like self-belief, confidence. And they said that you can't really love your neighbor if you don't have the respect for yourself, yeah. The self-respect and confidence.
Very good. So you cannot love others because of this, because you cannot love yourself, or you do not trust in yourself. And sometimes it's related to feeling jealous. Other comments? Other sins?
Abuna, I think the conflict is that people think or mistake high self-esteem for ego, which clashes with our spirituality. And then it's probably best, or like we think that it's best that we don't think highly of ourselves, and then that brings down our self-esteem. So I think it's we can't discern between ego and self-esteem, or self-confidence. And
okay. Yeah, I didn't get it, but I think you mean that the pride is the other face of this problem, right? Yes, exactly. Yes, it's kind of self-centrism. Either you see yourself less, or you see yourself superior than others, but you still focus on yourself, and this is a major problem. You cannot get out of yourself. You cannot get of people to think of others, to pray for others, to love others, to care for others, because you are prisoned inside yourself, thinking always of what should you do, what others speak about you, and this stuff, you know, it's kind of prison. Yes?
What can you do if you know somebody who has a low self-esteem?
This is a because
it's really hard, because their self-esteem is already low, and no matter what you tell them, they don't believe.
Why don't
it.
You just ask if one of us or all of us have some part of this at a time, what should we do? When I feel inferior, when my mind think always in a comparative way, I'm competing with others, I'm seeing myself less, I'm not happy with myself, I always blame myself, I'm angry with myself, and I feel big failure. And what do you do with this? When you have these feelings, when you feel this hurt inside, how can you get out of this? Because as you can see, you cannot love God or love people with this feeling, actually. You cannot pray good, you cannot enjoy your life. You may not achieve any kind of achievements because of this. So it's really troublesome. Okay, I'm waiting. What do you do with yourself or with others?
I think it's very simply, you bring it up to God in prayer, because you need to know truly who you are, to not either go one way of being, you know, prideful or being depressed. So you need to know who you are in terms of not everyone else, because no offense, they don't count, but in terms of God. And so bringing nice. All those inadequacies and concerns, or even when you're feeling prideful and, you know, look how great I am, going, well, no, God, everything I have is from you, therefore everything I get, I give it back to you in thanks and praise. Finding
if,
that
if you cannot pray, if you feel down up to you, you cannot pray, what
but
do you do?
Don't we say to God, I don't want to be standing in front of you right now, I'm praying, but okay. I know you're the only way I'm going to find a solution, so help me and give me that desire to want
Thank
you to take control.
Good. Yes?
Abuna, I think the key would be to have a really strong spiritual social network to begin with, so that when they see that you're feeling down and low, that they can start praying for you, and God willing, from there you get influenced by that.
Yes, very good.
Also, I find like if you say it's over here. I find if you like know God more, like you'll know yourself more. Like the more you know who you are relating to God, like I'm the dust or like I'm the child of Christ. It's two different things, but you know the boundaries of who you are with God, like relationship.
Sometimes people, you know, mix the meaning of humility with the low self-esteem. Far different. You know, to feel humble is far different from to feel low, to feel less. Because the humble heart is definitely sure of God's love. He is happy. But you know, the one who has low self-esteem is always sad. He's not happy. What other points? Yes?
I think sometimes we're lucky because we have that relationship with God and we grew up in a community where we have that support network. But like I have quite a few people in my life that don't have that. And it's really hard to try and support them and help them get back on their feet when they don't necessarily have that relationship with God. So how do you attack that side of it?
Okay, for me, the simplest solution of this major problem is one word, love. Because most of the people who suffer from this low self-esteem is lacking love. They feel unloved. They feel that there is nobody look up to them in a respectful way. So they did not feel God's love, or they did not enjoy people's love. So if you find somebody who lacks his confidence, just love him in a nice, good, pure way, he will get out of it. And if you yourself feels down, feels inferior, you know, this means that you lack God's love. You are not seeing the truth that God loves you so much. You just focus on your negatives. You see yourself less than others. You are thinking in a wrong way, that you are comparing yourself with others. And this is not the real truth. Actually, you are unique, you are beloved, you are a son of God, and Christ loves you so much, and you have many potentials inside. You cannot see all of this because of your inferiority. So the key word always is love. But how to catch this love, how to get this love in times you cannot see, you know? Can you get me some of the examples of people in the Bible, in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, who you can diagnose as they have low self-esteem? Can you find any of the characters of the Bible that you may say this person definitely had some low self-esteem?
The bleeding woman.
Yes. Because of the continuous failure, because she was bleeding for 12 years, and according to the law of Moses, she felt always guilty and rejected from the community. She felt down, she felt less. So definitely she had some... That's why when she came to Christ, she was, you know, very much scared. Although he was about to, you know, to praise her. Yes?
Moses the prophet.
Yes, when?
When he said, Lord, I cannot speak properly.
Exactly. When the call came to him to be a prophet, he refused it strongly because he felt very low. Go ahead, Habibi. Huh?
Zacchaeus had low self-esteem.
Very good, because he was very short, by the way. So he felt less than others. And also because people did not love him. So he felt rejected. And this is part of the low self-esteem. And that's why when the Lord focused on him and entered his home and he showed himself as a friend, all problems disappeared in one day, because this kind of money loving was just, you know, the outcome of this feeling. But when he felt happy with the Lord, he could let go with the money. Any other characters in the Bible having the same problem, Naveen?
It could be Boaz at the beginning when he told Jesus, please get out of my boat.
Peter, when he bowed down in the boat and praying, I'm a sinner, get out of my boat. This is the exact feeling of somebody who feels very sinful that he deserved not to be in the church. He deserved not to be God's man. So he spelled it out in a strange way, just get out. But he meant, please stay. Yes?
Judas Iscariot?
Yes, definitely. But he couldn't deal with this. Yes? This is the major problem, that he could not overcome this negative feeling. That's why he killed himself. Go ahead.
The sinful lady, when about how much sins she did, and she washed the feet of Christ, and she didn't really mean it, and she was crying, and he patted her on her back. And
that's
said,
why the Lord put her in a comparison with the Pharisee and proved to everyone that she is better. And this is his way to cure her, to help her to get out of this. Any other character? Yes. The Samaritan woman, that's why she was rejecting Jesus in the first beginning, because with the many failures in her relationships, you know, as one of you told us, that the failures are behind this low self-esteem. So she had many relations failed. That's why she felt inferior. She felt very low. And you know, one of the symptoms of this low self-esteem is to be aggressive and rejecting everyone and refuse any love in the start. But actually, she's in bad need to be loved. Yes?
Armea?
Yes, Armea felt he's young and he cannot do the prophecy, you know. But actually, the Lord insisted that he will do it. And he succeeded. You can see most of the characters of the Bible, by the way, started by this low self-esteem. That's why St. Paul said that God chose the foolish, the weak, in order to prove that he can do miracles with these people and his grace can, you know, empower them. With the question you ask about, what if I find a friend who is always down, feeling very inferior, with low self-esteem? How can I help him? Don't you meet such person?
Simply to say that there is someone loved you unconditionally.
Yeah. You know, many of those who go into addiction, any type of addiction and aggression and deviations, all this, the outcome of this bad feeling. So when you show him the unconditioned love, that you love him even if he will not be a good one. You just love him as he is. When you prove this, usually after some time it helps a lot. Can you do anything else to help, Justina?
Listen to their concerns and make them feel like their concerns are important.
Yeah, when you listen actively, lovingly, to whatever they complain of, usually it helps a lot, because by active listening, you prove that you care and you love them, whatever they are. Yes? Help him to see the real picture of the good and bad in him. He can see the bad, but he cannot see the good in him. The good in his history, the good in his character, the good in the circumstances. So you are helping him to see the real picture. You know, Christ had done this with Elijah. Because once Elijah the prophet felt very down and he said that I want to die because there is no one worshipping you and they killed all the prophets and they destruct all the altars, and he couldn't see the real picture. And after a while, when he could listen to the words of God, God revealed the truth that, no, I have 7,000 men who still worship me. And he could direct him what to do in his future plan. And he overcome this feeling. But even one of the great prophets had this feeling at a time. Okay, thank you for the discussion. I have a few questions here. The Bible mentioned gifts of speaking in tongues, performing miracles, healing, interpretation of tongues. All of these are very clear in the Protestant church, but none in the Coptic church. Are we doing something wrong? Should all the church combine together to benefit each other? I'll give you my opinion. You know, the gifts are many. And if you read the chapters 12, 13, 14 of the first letter of Corinthians, you will find out that not all the gifts are on the same level. St. Paul, the gifted man with all types of gifts, declared that the gift of preaching is the most important because this will help people to know Christ and to be saved. And he was rather against the tongue and interpretation of the tongue because they started to be deviated. You can see this clearly in chapter 14. And you know, the healing, the miracles, we at the Orthodox Church, one of the most common churches having miracles related to the saints, we still have miracles. But you know, what's happening in the media or in some other churches, that they are abusing this kind of gifts and show these gifts in a way not related to the biblical history and not matching with what we had taught in our church. Because you know, when you go to the history of all saints and you study the Bible, the Gospels, you can find that anyone who is doing any miraculous act or supernatural, usually he is very humble and he tend to cover this gift. This is not the story around us. And you know, the Bible stated that these gifts could be with devil's power, but because you know, even devil can do supernatural things. And because of the devil can show himself as an angel, also some of the good acts may be not related to God's power but to devil's power. So better to not to follow all of this charismatic movement, we call it charismatic movement, and this showing off churches, because this is not the real way to Christ. As written by St. Paul, you know, there is a better way, which is love. We tend to preach love, just go and love people, love God more, and you know, repent and pure your heart. So these kinds of gifts usually distract our attention away from the purification of our heart and how to be fixed in Christ. So I think these movements are not on the right way. But you know, in order to make the churches united or combined together, this should be on top of a real one faith. And we still not one in faith. We have many differences in the doctrines. Yes, we most of the churches agree on the divine nature of Christ. We all believe in Trinity. We all believe in eternal life. But not all believe in the sacraments. Not all believe in the intercession. Not all we believe in the church having icons and songs. And so we still have many differences in the doctrine, not in the order. The order and the ritual, we may, keep our differences. But in the doctrine, in the faith, in the truth, we should be one. And this is not yet done. Again, our theme is be filled with the Spirit. And we had like 2 or 3 lectures. And now let's speak about the same meaning but from the Old Testament. You know, we agreed on the examples of the Holy Spirit, the living water and the fire and the oil and the dove, and these all to simplify the idea of the Holy Spirit inside our hearts. We have the power inside our hearts, but we cannot see it. And sometimes we cannot feel it. But you know, it's always related to our will, to our decision. If you want to deal, if you want to feel, if you want to grow in spirit, you can. Because you have the power inside yourself. You need not to be baptized again. Actually, you have the Holy Spirit inside your heart. But you know, you need to not to put it off or to resist the voice of God or the voice of the Holy Spirit. Not by might nor by power. Let's read this from the prophecy of Zechariah. You know, Zechariah, one of the prophets, we have like 17 prophecies in the last part of the Old Testament. هوشعيو إيل عموس عبيديا يونان ميخا نحوم حبقوق صفانيا حجي زكريا أشعيا أرميا. All these prophets came from the period of 800 before Christ to 400 before Christ. So some of them were, you know, were prophesying while others are still there. And the main message of these, all these prophets, were just one word: repent. This is the main mission. And because Christ is coming, they were always saying, repent because Christ is coming. This is simply the main theme of the whole of all these books, which, you know, one fourth of the Old Testament. Now the angel who talked with me, the Zechariah speaking, came back and wakened me as a man who had wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? So I said, I'm looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold. He saw many visions, and this is one of the visions seen by the Zechariah. And we are going to study this vision as part of our study in Old Testament, but to focus on the Holy Spirit and its actions, her action in our heart. Solid gold with a bowl on top of it, and on the stand 7 lamps with 7 pipes to the 7 lamps. 2 olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at its left. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to the Zerubbabel. The Zerubbabel was the head of the people of Israel at that time. He was a very good man, a spiritual man, and he was fighting against the laziness of the people, he tried with all his heart to build up the temple again and to make the spiritual life of his people. And there was another one called Joshua, and he was the priest. So this is like a deacon and a priest, or a leader and a priest working together in time of the Prophet the Karim. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, say the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before the Rubabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. So simply the vision that he saw, that he had seen this this kind of lamp and two olive trees from which the oil comes inside the lamps. So these lamps are kindled. And you know, there was some question, who are these? And we are going to study this. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of the Rubabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? People at that time looked down at the Rubabel and his duty, his actions, because they did not respect what he's doing. They thought that this man cannot build the temple again, cannot renew the temple, and cannot help people to get to their spiritual life again. So they disgraced him. That's why the word of God came to encourage the Rubabel through the prophet of the Karim. For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of the Rubabel. They are the eyes of the Lord which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. Then I answered and said to him, what are these two olive trees that the right of the lamp stand and at its left? And I further answered and said to him, what are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drain? Then he answered me and said, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. So he said, these are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth. So the idea of this, you know, prophecy, it's a long one. We will not go through verse by verse, but simply the idea of, you know, two anointed ones. One is a priest called Joshua, and the other was a deacon or was a servant called the Rubabel, and they were fighting everyone. They were fighting negatives, laziness, lusts, bad teachings. They were fighting even pagans. So they were fighting everyone with the power of God. And this is our story. You know, it reminds me with the not by might nor by power, the same words which David had spoken once, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Again, while praying in the third hour, and this is the hour of the Holy Spirit, as you all know, we pray this in chariot, this in horses, but in the name of the Lord our God we will grow. They are overthrown and fallen, but we are ridden and set upright. This means that with the Holy Spirit, while praying the name of the Lord, you are empowering yourself with the power of the Spirit. And the power of the Spirit is far stronger than any other power. If you feel very weak, and all of us are very weak in our will, in our spiritual struggle, with the power of the Spirit, we are really powerful. So this is the exact meaning given in this prophecy. You know, when the Lord spoke about John the Baptist, John the Baptist was not a big leader and he had no money and no relationships with anyone. But you know, the Lord spoke about him very nice words. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. Another picture of the one who is filled with the Spirit. John the Baptist simplified the idea of the powerful man who can change people, who can change the generation, because the power of the Spirit inside his heart. Again, you know the prophecy about this John the Baptist. He will be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit. Even from his mother's womb, he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord, their God. So, you can evaluate the power of anyone by changing lives of others. If you want to be a real powerful man, it's not, you know, the muscle power or the money power or the reputation, but it's the power of changing people. And this power is very much related to the Holy Spirit. If you are filled with the Spirit, you are powerful enough to change yourself and to change others. Again, this power, you know, was given by St. Paul in Corinthians chapter 3, when there were many other false apostles or false teachers. So he were fighting this teaching. And he said once, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." Because, you know, they showed off many things and they claimed that they are apostles like him, and they were attacking Paul himself. So he said, actually, the kingdom of God is not in words. It's easy to speak words, but it's not easy to have the power of God. Some of the men of God were not, you know, men of words, were not those who are giving lectures, but they were very powerful in their heart. Elijah the prophet gave no sermons. Moses the prophet were not the one who were lecturing people, but these people were very much powerful. Again, you know, this power is always related to the feeling of weakness. As I said yesterday, when you feel that you are empty, you lack the power. You need the power of the Spirit. You pray and you cry out for the power, you will be given. But if you feel that you are strong enough and you do not need nothing, you will be given. He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmity than the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So, as you were talking about before this lecture, when we are very much down, we feel very weak, we feel inferior, it's a good time to cry out for help. It's the perfect time to feel the power of God. It's the perfect time to change into a better one, not by your power, but by the Spirit's power. Again, on the passage given by Zechariah, it was written, "For who has despised the day of small things?" Because this, the Zerubbabel and Yahusha or Joshua, the priest, were trying with, you know, small things. they cannot do big things. But people discredit this, did not respect what they were doing. But God, you know, respected these small things. For these seven rejoiced to see the plumb line in the hand. Which means that, you know, God may consider the two mites. God may look at the flask of fragrant oil. God will look carefully to the five loaves of bread and the two fish. So do not look down to your abilities, to whatever you have. Just give whatever you can. And with the power of the Spirit, you are really strong and you can change people's life. You can change even your life. And these two anointed ones mean that this anointed one is not only the priest, could be any servant. And people can work with the Holy Spirit, not only being ordained in the church, but anyone who is gifted with the Holy Spirit can make a big change. So I answered and said to him, what are these two olive trees at the right of the lamp and its left? And said to him, what are these two olive branches? And he answered me, you know, these are the two anointed ones, stand beside the Lord. First of all, you know, being son of oil as written here means that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pies from which the golden oil drains. I mean, if you feel empty, it's the chance for the Holy Spirit to fill you. But if your heart is busy with the word, with the lust, with the money, no space for the Holy Spirit to fill your heart. And you cannot work as a pipe to get this oil, to get this spirit to, you know, spread over other people. And you know, another word given on these two, they stand beside the Lord of the whole earth. So these two men were men of prayers. They were men who could deny themselves. That's why the Holy Spirit filled their hearts. And also these men were men of prayers. And if we are focusing again and again on two main keys for the filling by the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit, we need to feel empty. We need to feel very weak in order to ask God to empower us with His Spirit. And also we need to pray more and more. You know, there is a nice promise given in the letter of St. John. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So although sometimes we feel inferior, or we Christians feel that we are becoming minority, or we cops feel that we are strangers among these people, but you know, the power inside our hearts, the oil inside our hearts, is much powerful and stronger than the power in the world. Again, in St. John's letter, I have written to you, Father, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. He was speaking to people like you, and he said that you are strong, because the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. So lastly, I would say the power of the Holy Spirit needs faith. We need to believe that we have the power inside our heart. And this is the belief of our church. This is the gift given in the sacrament of Myron. And also it's we are taking again and again in all the sacraments, in all prayers. So the power of the Holy Spirit we take through prayer, whatever kind of prayer. If you pray from your heart in a humble way, you are getting this power. Also with the self-denial, when you just forget about yourself and you seek God's will and you seek love others, And the last word is, when you repent and seek purification, you will be given this powerful spirit. So in order to finish it, let's put it in a practical way. Resist the feeling then thoughts of failure. We Christians should never feel that we are that weak, because who with us is much stronger than the world? So we should resist any negative thought that I'm a big failure, I cannot do this or that, I cannot overcome my sin, I cannot do this service. Stop saying so. Consider the power of God inside your heart. It's not you, but the Holy Spirit power. So please, remind yourself and resist this thought and feeling. Also, hold on the spirit of love, because anything away from love is not the power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit always related to the virtue of love. When you love everyone now, the Spirit is working inside you. Also, you know, try to use an advice and guidance, because this Spirit is the Spirit of guidance, as written by St. Paul. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So this power is also related to the power of love and the sound mind. Glory to God. Amen.